Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Good day and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church in Douglaston, along with my co-host, Mr. Veh Bizdigyan.
Thank you for the honor to be called co-host.
You've been promoted, Veh. Let's start our day and our program with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church.
Hoviv kach, hoviv pari ev havidenagan. Okne ku panavor hodit. Vor ku shurchut havaketsir ku kututyampet. Vorov edev ku timatsat ganknats, ku vogormutyanat, ev kututyanat kspasenk ter. Orne polora, imastatsur amenka. Amenk lusavore ev polorin barkeve yerginki arkayutyunat. Vorov edev tunes gyankin dera. Vogormats astvats. Եվ քեզի գվայելեն պարկը, իշխանությունն ու բադիվը, այժմ եւ միշտ եւ հավիդյանս հավիդենից. Courageous shepherd, kind and eternal shepherd, please help your rational flock that you gathered around you through your mercy, because standing before you, we await your mercy and your compassion. Bless us all, give us wisdom, enlighten us all, and grant us your heavenly kingdom, because you are the Lord of life, merciful God. And to you is befitting glory, dominion, and honor, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.
So Veh, every Sunday after Badarak, there are a few people at church that I ask their opinion about the podcast, and they give me their honest opinions and feedback. So I did that this past Sunday, and one of our friends was like, I think you did the best thing this week when you said the best friend of the show is Veh. So I got some feedback, which was unexpected, and that's why I decided to promote you to become my co-host. And I'm very honored that you are with us every week and you're bringing a different flavor to the show. So let me ask you, how was your weekend?
First off, Der Narek, thank you for the very, very kind and generous words. I got promoted to best friend of the show, and I thought that was enough of a promotion. And now you're telling me I'm a co-host. So
yes, you are.
I'm taken aback by it. I'm trying to absorb it. We'll see if we continue to use these kinds of titles. I like being a friend of the show, and I will always continue to be so.
Excellent.
My weekend was great. It's a great way to end your summer when you head to a city, a designated city, for the AYF Olympics, the Senior Olympics. And this year was in the great city of Providence, Rhode Island. There were many attendees, I would say, at the Badahantes on Sunday night. There was probably close to 2,000 people there. And everybody was in great spirits. The athletic competitions were outstanding. Providence came away, the host chapter came away with the victory during the games. And we were entertained by various bands. And also, in a different twist this year, they had a musical performance by Karnik Sarkisian. So that was a nice change to the traditional format of entertainment at the Olympics.
Well, I've never been to any Olympics because I was not born in this country, and I'm a priest. I cannot go because I'm celebrating Badarak here on Sunday. So for a person who is like me, who've never been there, can you tell us more about the format, about what happens there?
Absolutely. I've been in attendance, I would say, for the better part of the last 20 years. I make it a point of going when I was younger and I was an AYF senior here in New York, as well as out of Washington, D.C. when I was studying there. We participated every year. It was just a great opportunity to get together with youth from all around the East Coast, mostly the East Coast, some from the Midwest. Detroit and Chicago also participate. And this year, there was actually a contingent. There was a team there from Los Angeles. So the focus is both social and athletic. So you have a series of athletic competitions, individual competition with swimming events and running, track and field. And you also have a group competition with softball and some other team activities.
You mentioned the number 2,000. Is that something new, or that number has been consistent throughout the years?
I think it depends on the venue. It depends on the location, what city is chosen. Obviously, the closer you get to the Mid-Atlantic, you're able to draw from Washington, D.C., from Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, all the way up into New England. So this year, being in New England, you have a very large Armenian community, obviously the oldest Armenian community on the East Coast. So they come out in full force. So they were all there at the Badahantes. And then throughout the games, you get several hundred people who come in as spectators, participants, and typically the participants are somewhere between the ages of 18 and 26.
Excellent.
And for us, what the greatest part is going with your families, and you see people that you used to compete against, and now we're there with our children. The kids are out running around together. They become acquainted, and it's just a great opportunity for all of us to have fun together.
Sounds like you guys had fun.
It's great. It's really a great way to end the summer, get back to the normal work routine. September 20th, there, Nutegg. It's a very important day on the St. Sotki's Church calendar. Why don't you tell us what's going on that day? Let's inform our listeners.
September 20th, following church services, our annual picnic will take place here on the grounds of St. Sotki's Church. Now, last year, we implemented some changes in the format of the picnic, and we had live bands, kids zone, among other things. The food was phenomenal. The only thing that we need is good weather, because the committee members are working hard, they are preparing, and God willing, we will have another great picnic. I invite you to come, bring your kids, bring your family members, and let us enjoy another great annual picnic here at St. Sotki's Church.
This week, we are kicking off the fall semester of Saturday school. What is on the agenda to start things off at St. Sotki's?
It's a very exciting weekend for us, and I'm happy to report that we have 63 students registered already. That's a big number. We Armenians like to do things at the last minute, and I'm sure that we will have a few people registering on Saturday morning as well. Our tradition here at St. Sotki's Church is that we offer Armenian education in Eastern and Western Armenian, and that is one of our strengths. So people are not forced to learn one dialect over the other. They learn whatever they feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And that's something that parents appreciate very much. So along with Armenian and history classes, we also offer religious education. We started doing this a few years ago, and it has been very successful. I'm humbled to say that I'm the teacher for religious education, and it's a great opportunity for me to get to know the students and spend time with them and create a different kind of relationship with them in our studies and in our interaction and in the classroom, which is something that I personally appreciate very much. We also teach music, their arts and crafts, and we take our kids to Armenian old age home. They interact with the residents there, and they are part of our church activities throughout the year. So, as I said, I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to see all the old students as well as the new faces this Saturday morning here at St. Sarkis Church.
At Der Nareg, I've noticed that the attendance has been growing consistently over the years. I remember maybe 5-6 years ago, we were nowhere close to 60 students, and we're up in the... And every year, it seems as though we add another 10, 12, 15 students consistently, which is very encouraging.
Of course it is. And it looks like the parents see that learning Armenian, being familiar with our own culture, is something important. And for that reason, they are encouraged to send their kids to Saturday school. And also it shows that we're doing something right here. And for that reason, people are spreading the word and more parents are encouraged to send their children to become students here at Suzan and Hovsep Hagopian Saturday School of St. Sarkis Church.
And we have to, of course, commend the parents for making the effort from coming in from all over Long Island and Queens, making the trip early Saturday mornings to be here to drop their children off for classes.
That's a great point, Veh, because I know some parents who drive close to 1 hour to get here on Saturday morning, and I really commend them for taking that initiative.
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you, I've been a bit conflicted this week. It's a difficult week when you think back 14 years ago. The world changed for us, changed for everyone on 9/11, 2001. And we look back at how 9/11 impacted us here in the U.S. and globally, and what we continue to feel in terms of the struggles that are stemming from the problems emanating from the Middle East. There is a massive flow of refugees coming from Syria. Thankfully, our Armenian brethren, those who feel it's time to leave, have some degree of comfort by going to Armenia in relative calm. But there are hundreds of thousands of countless others that the world is deliberating over where to deport, where to receive them, where they can be brought in and housed comfortably and allow them to live some kind of productive lives. So it's a challenging time. I think the challenging time for the world, and it really takes a moment of introspection for us. We live here in relative comfort, and we lose sight of the fact sometimes, I think, especially in light of the previous discussion we had about Olympics and KEF and having a great time at Badahantes's.
It was very difficult for me to see those pictures, those images that were posted on the news outlets and also on social media last week about that little kid who was drowned on the mm-hmm. Turkish shore as he was trying to escape the conflict in Syria and trying to find refuge in Europe. When I look at that image, or when I remember that image, I cannot separate the fact that the death of that little kid was the result of terrorism, just like the events of 9/11 14 years ago also was a result of terrorism. Therefore, terrorism knows no limits, no countries. It can strike anywhere. And wherever that happens, we know how devastating that is. I sympathize with those who lost their lives during 9/11, those who are still dealing with the aftermath of those horrific events. And I think it's the same dark terrorist forces that are creating the conflict in the Middle East, where also our Armenian communities are affected now as we speak.
Absolutely. And when I think of the Armenians, I know I mentioned they have a safe harbor in the context of discussing refugees, but it is an absolute travesty what's happened to those incredibly productive communities. And I know we've focused on it here on the podcast. You've had some outstanding guests who have informed our listeners about the details of the Armenian community, but in the broader global environment, the Armenian issue is a small piece of a much larger puzzle. And as you said, the issue of terrorism continues to daunt. It continues to destroy. And I pray that God provides us with some degree of peace in the coming months and years as we struggle with this and try to bring some resolution to the conflict in Syria.
I agree with you, and I would like to ask our listeners to offer a prayer today for the souls of the victims of 9/11, and also for everyone who is suffering because of terrorism in the entire world. Today I'm chatting with Very Reverend Saha Gemishyan, who is the pastor of Holy Trinity Armenian Church in Worcester. Hashub Asfaz Oknagan, and welcome to the podcast.
Asfaz Baban, thank you very much, Dirar.
Hashub, we've known each other since the days of seminary. I would like us to talk about your vocation, about the days of the seminary. How did you make the decision to become a priest serving in the Armenian church?
Let's go back to my early ages. When I was 9 years old in Armenia, I started to go to Armenian church and sing on altar. And that gave me the confidence and happiness to be more close and feeling God in my life.
So you were born in Armenia?
I was born in Armenia, and I was raised and educated in Armenia. Went to school until I was 13 years old. And when I was 13 years old, there was an opportunity to go to seminary to Lebanon and be a student in seminary. Of course, it was very difficult for me because there would be a different atmosphere, different people, and different experience. But
the cultural difference.
Culture, everything would be different, even the language. In Armenia, there was a Eastern Armenia, and Beirut, it was Western Armenian. And in spite of these difficulties, I agreed to go and follow the education.
When you say there was an opportunity, can you tell us more? What was that opportunity, and why did you decide to go to Lebanon and not study in a seminary in Hayastan?
Well, this question I heard a lot, that why didn't you go to Etchmiadzin? I was 13 years old, and at that time, Etchmiadzin accepted students at 16 or 18. And because there was an opportunity, one of Sarpazans came to Armenia, and he was close to my family, and suggested that I can go in my early age and pursue the studying. I agreed.
So you came to the seminary.
That's right.
How was the experience of being a seminarian in the Armenian Theological Seminary in Lebanon?
The first couple of months, it was, as I said, difficult because of the cultural differences, because of the environmental and people. But after a couple of months, I was like them. I was very happy and lived their lives as I was born there. I adapted very fast, quickly.
And I remember that. I remember that very well. It felt that you were one of us. But Hashem, let me ask you about your vocation. How did you discern to become a priest?
Well, as I said, it started when I was young. I think this spiritual need or experience passed by my father, by my grandfather, because he was from Western Armenia, and his faith was so big, even during the Soviet Union, he never lost his faith. And he passed his faith to generations, even to me. And when I was 9 years old, and I started to sing on altar, I felt that that could be my service, that could be my world, where I can feel as I am in my waters.
I think you're onto something very important. The fact of passing on the faith from one generation to the other. And this is something that happens in the lives of families, and specifically in the lives of our Armenian families, where the parents and sometimes the grandparents are the ones who are transmitting the faith. And it seems like that was your experience, and what a beautiful experience. We need to encourage that in our parishes, that you know, religious education is not only the responsibility of the church and the pastor, but it's something that should happen at home. So, Hashtag, when was your ordination? How long ago were you ordained?
It was 2006, May 14, and 2 weeks before May 14, His Holiness asked us if we are agreed to be ordained as a celibate priest. And it didn't take long to accept. And of course, we wrote a letter to His Holiness asking to be a part of the brotherhood, to be a celibate priest, to serve Armenian church and Armenian people.
That's the way it works? You have to write a letter?
Yes. You have to write a letter asking and, of course, giving your loyalty to the Holy See of Cilicia and, of course, His Holiness as well.
That's an honor. And we're happy that you are part of our brotherhood. So what happened after your ordination? Can you tell us about your service? Where did you serve? What were some of the responsibilities that you took upon yourself?
After my ordination, I had a couple of responsibilities in Antlias. The first one was I was a co-director or helper in archive department, which was a new department for our Catholicosate and was in process of getting ready for the public. And it was a good experience because in archives we have a lot of documents and important writings that shows our history, our service, people who served our church. And it's very important to understand, to realize what before people did for our church and how it went bigger and bigger in servicing the church. And the second one was I was the director of the youth department at the same time when I was co-director at the archives. And that was also a very beautiful and unique experience that I had because I started to work with youth. And not only the youth in Lebanon, because our youth department is not just for Lebanon. It goes to our palaces as well. And one of the biggest event or experience we had in this department, we invited a lot of young people from the palaces, around 100 and 110 youth, that came and explored their own experiences in their own palaces, that help each other to realize what are the differences or difficulties in whole Armenian church, especially in the youth level. What are the youth ministry today is for us.
I remember as the pastor of St. Sarkis Church, we had a delegation who participated in that seminar that was organized by you, the Armenian Catholicosate of Cilicia. It was held in Bikfaya, Lebanon, and we had almost 10 or 11 people who participated. And to this day, those young adults who participated, I believe it was in 2008 or
yes. Not,
to this day, they share their experiences because it was a very unique opportunity for them. Hashem, what about your pastoral experiences?
It was 2010 when His Holiness sent me to Greece. And that was the first pastoral experience I had. Greece was a unique place and unique experience as well, because of the people, because of the environment, and of course, because of a pastoral experience, because in Antlias, we don't have that kind of experience usually. We work, we serve in departments, but not as a pastors. And that gave me maybe a hard time at the first, but in the end, it was very helpful, and I like what I did. The serving and being with the people is different than being in a department and looking people from far away.
We usually look at the pastoral experience from the people's perspective. You know, people need a good pastor, that we need a good leader for the church. But when you look at it from our own experience, there's a lot of learning and adapting involved in being a pastor. And I imagine that for you, it must have been very difficult because you came from Armenia to Lebanon. That was a change that you had to go through and adapt. And then from Lebanon to go to Greece. And now we are talking about a different culture, a different language, and a whole set of new experiences. How did you deal with that?
Apparently, I have a good feeling and good way to adapt the environment so quickly. Of course, first, a couple of months, maybe I will have difficulties. But in the end, I am adapting so quickly the environment that I become one of the member of the parish. So it's the same with America. When I came to US, it was 2013, August, and His Eminence Archbishop Oshragan Choloyan gave me the opportunity to serve the people of Worcester, parish of Worcester. And the experience was kind of unique because, as you mentioned, they are not the same people in Greece or in Lebanon or in Armenia. It's their identity, their approach, their way of thinking is different in a way, because we understand they are away from Armenia, from Lebanon. They are in a different culture, different country, and we accept that. And we don't try to change anything. We try to adapt their way of thinking, to see how can we come together and work together, being part of them, not changing them.
What were some of the things that you had to learn and you appreciate about learning those things in your experience?
Well, as I said, the thinking or understanding people is different here. And one thing that I tried to come along is being with the people, respecting them, and being one of them is very important. In other countries, for example, in Lebanon, you can't be just one of them. You can be as a leader. The people will follow you. But here, being a leader means to go them, be part of them, be one of them, and then carrying out with you. So in Lebanon, it's kind of different. The people respect you, follow you as a leader in a far way. But here, you have to go there, be part of them, and that's how you bring them.
That's a great observation, Haysop. That's a great observation. So tell me, what is unique about your parish of Worcester? Is that the first parish of the Armenian church?
Yes. Worcester is one of the first parishes that established in the United States. It was 1893 that established. They had their own community and built a new church. And the unique thing is their faithfulness to the church, to the nation, and of course to the Catholicosal See of Antlias, Cilicia. It has been more than 100 years. They had maybe 6 or 7 generation, and still they feel, they think, and accept them as Armenians. which is so great and so unique that in other countries, third or fourth generation already getting lost. But in Worcester, we still have those generation who are connected, who are loyal and faithful to the church and to the Armenian nation.
Where do you think that sense of loyalty comes from?
Maybe from their grandparents, generation to generation. And I think they all came from Harpert, and their faith and their loyalty came with them and tried to build something they will experience the same way as they did back their homeland. And that community tried to be as Harpert for them, and they experience those feelings, those experiences by feeling like in Harpert.
Traditions that live.
Yes.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Hashab, besides being a pastor, you are also continuing your education. Can you tell us about what you're doing?
Yes, Derhair. It was last year when I started to attend in Boston College as a student of Master of Arts in Theology and Ministry, a program that will help to increase our knowledge in theology and, of course, in ministry. Because as a pastor or as a member of brotherhood, as a priest, it is important to know the theology, but also it is very important, I think, to know and get involved in a pastoral studying, pastoral care or counseling or other atmosphere or other spheres of the pastoral ministry.
I am so happy that you are pursuing your higher education. I know it is very exciting to be a student again and to learn as you lead your parish. Hashab, this has been a wonderful opportunity, but before I let you go, I would like to hear, what is your message to our listeners today?
Thank you, Derhair, for giving this opportunity at first. And the message that I want to share with the people is to hold on to their tradition, to their faith, to their church. And the most important thing, as you mentioned at the first, is to pass on their faith and their tradition to their coming generations. It doesn't matter when we leave, what's our country that we leave. The important thing is how we can give what is ours to our coming generation. And that means to living the faith that our forefathers passed on to us. And it is our turn to pass whatever is ours today to our coming generations. That's the most important thing. And that's the answer that you asked. What's the unique thing in Worcester? They passed their traditions, their faith to coming generations.
And now they have a very inspiring pastor. And I hope that this current generation will also pass their faith and their traditions to the new generation. Hayırsa Aga Emişan, thank you very much for this opportunity. Asfaz Oktagan.
Thank you, Derhair. Asfaz Baban.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 10 through 15.
Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Amen.
I think for us to fully understand what Paul is writing about, we need to take a look to the context of the letter. And when we read the entire chapter, we see that Paul is writing these verses to thank the community of Corinth for the contributions that they made as Paul was trying to raise some funds so that he can take with him before his visit to Jerusalem. And various communities that Paul had established were eager to raise money and to send their contributions to the Christian community of Jerusalem.
So Paul is praising the people of Corinth for their contributions to the people of Jerusalem.
Absolutely. And in the first verse that you just read, Paul is saying that God is the one who supplies us with every good gift. And he is saying that the result of your generosity will be the large harvest of your righteousness. In other words, Paul is saying when you have compassion and share your gifts with other people who are less fortunate, God will reward you. And your reward will be the increase of your righteousness. And that is a great, great gift that we can earn through our generosity.
I guess the same holds true today. You look back a couple thousand years and we're still rewarded for our generosity, for our goodness. And God really smiles upon us when we do that.
I agree. And as the pastor of this church, I would like to praise our community, because throughout the years, we organize different fundraisers, throughout different occasions. You have second plates, you have special evenings for fundraisings, and sometimes we send the contributions to less fortunate communities, sometimes to Armenia, sometimes to Qarabağ, lately to Syria. And every cent and every dollar that we sent, it can make a difference. We know people, when they receive our contributions, they send us their prayers. And that is a wonderful gift that we can receive as a result of our generosity.
This reading, Der Narig, it really brings to light the struggles that this church went through financially for many years. And through the generosity of a group of parishioners, and we know who those individuals are, they kept this place alive. And it's really encouraging to see how abundantly our community continues to give and gives to our church and gives to these various causes. And we're in a better state, and people recognize that and they're willing to give back. And I guess this speaks directly to this reading in that God is grateful for our actions.
I think the core is compassion. When we try to identify ourselves with the one who is suffering, we put ourselves in their shoes and we try to understand the pain that they have. And if our contributions can ease that pain, that's the best thing that we can do. Our church and our community who have suffered in the past knows exactly how it feels to suffer. And for that reason, I think we have a very generous community here. And as I said earlier, I pray that God will reward the members of our community for their generosity. This week, the Armenian Church celebrates Khachverats, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And for that reason, we will be playing to you Khachiko Christos, a hymn dedicated to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you will enjoy listening to Khachiko Christos. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank our listeners, our sponsor, Mr. Veh and Mr. Greg for all the work. And I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Saki's Church office at 718-224-2275.